All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I hate to break the fishing news up here, M-Chuck, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for, like, an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down, here, M-Chuck.
Yep. All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
Episode 298. Of the Real Life Podcast, coming to you from a Thursday. Someone's poker chips are crumbling and we are early in this episode. That's going to drive me nuts. Anyways, this podcast is brought to you by HGA Group, the next generation of business services built to serve you better. Check them out at the HGA Group. We're tagging them in all our posts. They're very easy to find and they can help you just like they help us. I'm Tyler, Jay, Chalmers, Bag Milk, Wanye. The whole cast is here and a couple of us are still feeling it after the disc golf. My arm is fucked. My arm hurts so much from disc golf.
Really?
Like right here, right in between, like my shoulder and my tit. Like there's
tit.
I think I described this mid round is that I feel like I've developed a little bit of, I believe you would call, disc golfer elbow.
Elbow, really? It's release. Elbow for you.
Initially, a little, yeah, it stung a little bit. It's feeling a little bit better now, but wow. Disc golf, eh? I've got a lot of respect for those who are good at it. It is a challenging sport. Wow. I am also more shocked at how intense some people are and serious they are about the sport of disc golf. There was literally, Wanye, guys that had like their own, like, you know, you put your bag on a pull cart, like a golf bag. They'd have like a pull cart and it would have this like bag full of discs. It must have had 30, 40 discs in it.
For different
like
situations? Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
It was
like different conditions for a different disc or different length of shots.
Yeah. Like putter, chipper, whatever.
Yeah. Like we had a driver and a putter. That's what we play with.
Yeah. Can you like replace your disc mid hole?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
It's, so is the name of the game throw at the same speed and different discs will take the different length?
Not quite. Like sure to some degree, but like
is there a 7-iron of discs where you're like, oh, I have 100 yards in, I'm gonna play this disc?
Probably.
Yeah. Probably, but you wouldn't throw it at the same velocity as a driver.
I gotcha.
Like driver, you're going hardcore on.
So what's par on a hole?
Three
for the most part. There's a few fours.
And how long were they roughly?
Anywhere from 150 to like 500, 600 feet.
Your average was like between 240 and 300 feet was about the average one. Mm-hmm.
And like how far
there was one that was like 600 feet.
Now,
how far can you hit it or throw it?
We should have walked some off, but okay. So not to toot my own horn and definitely not toot my own horn about disc golf. I am a guy that likes to shoot things hard, hit things far. That's my jam.
You ball.
I ball. I am the Corey Pavin of disc golf. I am such a bunt. It is shocking. Shocking.
It was like that off the bat. Then we started watching some other people go. I think we all were kind of bunts. None of us really had the form. And then we had the videographer, Josh Park, kind of telling us what, starting the chainsaw, he calls it, and really getting the whip across your body and turning your head. And then we were on a tee box, probably about the fifth tee box. And we looked over at what was probably like the eighth tee box. And there was a group of guys, you could tell they were serious and they played disc golf a lot. They were, athletic guys. And we just watched them and just like the forces to which they stepped forward, they whipped their body around and whipped their heads around. And then to watch their discs fly, like, twice as far as ours, we kind of were like,
twice as far.
Holy shit. Okay, so that's what it takes.
This is how normal people, Chalmers, feel watching you play real golf.
Oh, maybe.
That's good, right? Because they go to the golf course and they're like, I can hit the ball like 80 yards. I can't control what direction it goes in. The people who are good are contorting themselves in strange ways and never miss.
Well, so now I know what it feels like because.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Well, I'm going to say that we, by the end of it, like, Bagged Milk was kind of like really kind of the best right off the bat.
You could tell Bagged Milk has a dog.
Yeah. You could tell he throws a frisbee. He knows how to flat throw it.
Yeah. I would say he's like a Henrik Stenson, just like deadly, accurate, consistent, and
no gas, though.
And always hits with a 3-wood. Yeah.
So the problem with Yaremchuk and JR and I was we could, but it was hard for us to get our discs perfectly flat. And so the minute it just like curves a little bit, the wind just takes it and that thing just like slices it fade. So when I would say that by about the 12th hole was when we really started to catch our form. We were really trying to round into form there. But it was hard, man. I said on this very thing that I could throw one 200 yards and I was putting that in terms of like a golf shot and I can't even throw it 200 feet. I think maybe
John Daly, if you could,
dude, our furthest disc throw was probably around 150 feet. I would say at best.
We were averaging
like 100.
I was averaging about 70. And then when we got to the 17th tee, we saw another group of pros teeing off. And then I watched this guy who inspired me, who does the full Bull Durham pitch wind up and totally looks back to the stands and then fires through. And then I went to try that because I sucked so bad. I may as well try anything. And I did it and I fucking zipped it. and then I did it again on the next tee and did the exact same thing. So I just a little too late for my round, but I'm ready for the next one.
Once I figured out kind of my slice a little bit, I got the accuracy down and I was good at laying up. That's what I felt I was good at.
Oh, God.
But I could not. Oh, yeah. Drove you nuts.
My God.
I could not get distance on my shots at all. But if we were like 30 feet out and I needed to stick it, I'd stick it. And it was a tap in after.
Fucking Yaremchuk. Yaremchuk walked around the disc golf course with his hall monitor sash on.
Yeah.
And just played it safe every time,
but it was the difference. Like him and Bagged Milk, they dominated us. I gotta say, we were never up a hole.
What are you saying?
what I'm saying is we took chances. This was our first time, and we were going to go balls to the walls. And this younger generation is just a little bit more conservative. They're going to be renting for life. Yeah. They're going to be leasing cars. They're never going to walk unless there's a
extended
green walk
warranty
sign.
On every they're toaster you purchase.
Bike no helmets debt. At all times. Like no debt. Yeah, they're conservative, and I don't know. I can, you know, it's something to be said for it because they won. So I don't know.
Josh Park is working on the video now, and Chalmers with the spoiler there on who won it. But there was some drama. There was some legitimate drama. So the video is going to be worth watching.
Yeah, the cagey old guys finally found their shit and made it interesting. But I definitely would like, Chalmers, and I think you would agree, would like to challenge you to a rematch.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
And Chalmers, we'll have to have a sidebar and do some planning before we do that. Because I'm coming with 40 discs minimum.
There was we were underprepared. I showed up with 3 discs and a Slurpee. I was wearing sandals. I've never felt more underprepared. It's like showing up to a test you never studied for.
You're a guy showing up to Golden West in 1998 with 3 golf clubs you found in his neighbor's garage. And
totally.
A thing of fireball.
Yeah, showing up to a test without a pencil and late without studying. I felt out of it. But now I know what I need. And I'm telling you, your Remchuk gave me shit because I kept bringing it up. But man, is that a good sport for having a cooler full of Bud Lights or
it was like very hot.
That is what you need to be wheeling around. Not 40 discs.
No.
40 beers. 40 discs.
40 beers.
40 exactly. Beers and 40 nights. That's a
unique. Chalmers, I gave you shit because literally every 15 to 20 minutes, you'd be like, oh, fuck. Oh, I could just go for a beer right now. Oh, can you imagine? Like, can you imagine? Guys, can you imagine a rum and coke right now?
Like,
oh,
because it was awesome. Like this, Jay knows me well. So does Wanya. He knows that like my favorite thing in the world is I'll get to like the second hole in a golf course on like a Thursday or Friday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. And I'll just be like, one.
And I'll just be like, this heaven on fucking earth, boys. Like, look at this. We're in like the biggest, greenest pasture playing a fucking competitive game with your best buddies. And it's like, we were out disc golfing and it, you know, I kind of, although the grass, oh my God.
A little crispy. Yeah.
Feel free to rain a little bit just for the sake of Rundle Park, for Christ's sake. Felt like it was walking on razor blades, but like, it was just one of those things. It's meant to be done. With a cold one in your hand. It just is.
Yeah. It's a beautiful walk in the park and a nice cold beer, especially because we played like 28 degrees, 29 degrees. A few beers would have just gone down so good. Nation beers.
Big time.
Yeah, a couple of those new Green Nation beers, rocking those while we cruise around. But we'll probably schedule a rematch at some point here before the end of the summer. I don't know if we'll be able to get a Nation Real Life Listener Tournament off the grounds because the logistics may be complicated, especially with the fact we have the more traditional golf tournament coming up at the end of August. But you never know.
We should have one of the activations on one of the holes actually should be a disc long drive competition.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, get United to hop in on that and bring some discs. Response.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. 100%.
What's the big time disc golfer's name again?
Oh, shit.
I don't remember.
I was excellent.
Ponce Donkington? What's his name?
Disc golfer. Was
it Chalmers? He's your best friend, I thought.
Ken Klimo.
I don't remember.
Ken Klimo.
The one thing that I will say also about disc golf is like, it's pretty impressive that you can just drive into Rundle Park, park your car, walk out and go play an 18-hole disc golf course absolutely free.
Yeah.
And there's not like it's beautiful around there. We made fun of the vista of the industrial zone a little bit, but like when you're down in it, like nice trees, you know, there's some water features for free.
I threw one into a pond. I Chalmers and I both threw a disc into a body of water.
Yeah, we did.
That was funny.
And then we had to go retrieve them. Good thing it was shallow.
Oh, and that's the other thing. So we've got one in the water, and a guy yells like, "Hey, do you need a retrieving stick?" Like these guys got sticks to retrieve
the trees.
Yes.
Dude, the biggest hazard in this sport is throwing a disc in a tree because you throw them high. You never get that thing out without a stick. I saw this one guy. He must have had a 30-foot stick, like retractable stick,
like an extendable ball retriever in golf.
Oh my
We must have looked just like the biggest rookies out there ever.
Well, we look like rookies, and we have a guy with a camera following us around. Like, people would have been like, "What the fuck is going on?
These guys are idiots."
Well, it's a porno. We're making a porno.
Yeah,
the worst porno ever.
Yeah. There was this one hole where a guy threw it. Like, there was a long hole, and he threw it into like the trees on the hole we were on. And he's in the trees and he throws, because another option in disc golf I didn't know is you can roll the disc on the ground. And there's a technique to it. The guy is in the trees and he goes and he's probably 200, because this is like a par four, like a really long one. And he must have rolled this one like 150 feet to like up near the pin from within the trees. I was like, this is fucked.
Kind of like rolling like a tire down the road type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to roll one. It went about 5 feet.
Damn. How do people get into this? I don't get it.
Well, like, it's the barrier to entry is so easy. Like, I'm surprised we're not all disc golfers.
But, like you're walking down the street in Rundle, and there just is, like, a guy in the woods who's like, hey, you want to jump onto the third hole? Like, how do you get inducted into the game?
I think you just pick it up and go. And the nice part is, like, free to walk on. And Chalmers, how much was your set of discs from?
It was $39.99.
Like, you can go and you can get into this sport for $40 and like play as much as you want just by showing up there, which I think is kind of the appeal of it too, right? Like, you don't need to be like, oh fuck, gotta book a tee time, like blah blah. You can just show up there whenever and be like, fuck it, I'm gonna go play and go.
Yeah, I got a lot of appreciation for it. It's a great way to spend a nice day.
It
was what, 2.5 hours, maybe a couple hours. It was good.
Well, so it took us 1 hour and 10. I remember because we started at around 2:30 that day. And we were done the front nine at around 4:40 or 3:40. And then, so it was 1 hour 10, but then we really picked up our pace because I think
we got better.
You know, yeah.
And we also played best ball, which was like, we had to go pick up hours. You know, I think if we were all playing solo and just throwing them as you walked, I mean, we probably would have been a little quicker, but it's about 1 hour per 9. I would say.
Yeah. Very quick, very quick. It was it's a great activity. If you haven't tried to get into it, why not? And let us know what you think. 100%.
We've Austin talked about having a Nation Real Life disc golf tournament, and after being out at Rundle, it was pretty evident to us all that it would be pretty impossible to do it out there, because you can't. There's people everywhere, and you can't like rent a public park.
Well, city course, but there's some private ones. There's an.
So there's some private courses. So we're still. It's not dead, but I'm telling you right now, it's probably not at Rundle.
Let's keep the conversation going.
Yeah,
real life listeners. And I think this is something we could definitely plan for early summer next year.
100%. Also, we've been talking about how we're going to auction off a group with the Real Life Podcast for the Oilers Nation Open out at Cougar Creek, nationgear.ca. And then you can just go down, click on Oilers Nation Open for all the info. We need to launch that auction right away. I don't know how to do that. I will try my best to figure that out. I don't know if just opening up the DMs and seeing if there's any serious suitors and how much you'd be willing to bid is a smart way to do it.
So bid for your twosome to play with the three of us. And I can assure you, Chalmers and I are going to go out there and hit some dingers. We will hit some dingers.
And Chalmers also said he's in charge of your booze, if I recall correctly. Which means you're going to be getting some stinger dingers.
We'll be well supplied. We'll be well stocked.
So let me just make sure that we're all on the same page here. It is, you're bidding for the chance to play in a group with myself, Chalmers, and Jay. It's tournament style, so it'll be a five-man scramble, correct?
Yeah, so we'll be the only team that's a five-man. That's the other
huge value advantage.
We have a chance. We have a chance to win this thing.
Yeah.
The inside edge.
So if you go to nationgear.ca, you'll see that it's $1,000 per team. And of course, money proceeds that's going to Gregor's grads as well. So it's all for charity.
Yeah, all for charity.
But $1,000 for a foursome out at Cougar Creek on August 26th, 2021. That is coming up in a month and a bit. I don't know why I said the year. It's pretty obvious. That $1,000 gets you and three friends into the tournament. You get the prizes, you get the giveaways, you get a dinner after, you get transportation to and from Cougar Creek from the Pint downtown. That's where we're all going to be meeting. So we take you from Edmonton, the bus rides a hoot, we go out to Cougar Creek, you play your scramble four man, we eat, we have a good time, we drink, bus brings you right back to the Pint, bang, you can head home, Uber home after that, however you need to do what you need to do. And that's $1,000 for a group of four. our auction is just for two people.
Yeah.
It is for a group of two to join us. So when you're placing your bids, I suppose keep that in mind. And what we'll do, you can hit us up on Twitter or Instagram, slide into our DMs at, make sure I get the Twitter handle right, at Nation Real Life on Twitter. And on Instagram, we are at Nation Real Life as well. Slide into the DMs only if you're serious, obviously. Tell us what your bid is. Again, it's $1,000 for a foursome. So base your opening bid on that, I suppose. And then what I'll do is as bids keep coming in, I'll update everyone who's bidding. And then if you're out and you go, hey, it's past my price point, one, that's all good. No worries there. Just let me know you're out and we'll go from there. So slide into the DMs, consider the auction open. And when are we going to close it?
We close it like what? Like end of next week or like how, like, you don't have to let these things go on for too long.
Yeah, like we don't want to let it go till like August 1st or whatever, right? Can we just say a week? Like, let's do a week. And it like ends
next Thursday. Next Thursday, we'll announce our twosome.
Next Thursday at 1 o'clock, we'll announce the twosome.
Yeah.
So and your Remchuk. And to increase the value of the team, and I can't confirm it, but I can say potentially Ken Klimko will be on site.
The He's disc coming golfer. To
Edmonton. He will be there. I can't confirm it, but he might be there.
For
You'll only would know if you go for sure.
For what I Ken assume Klimko. Are legal reasons of running an auction, I must say I can't promise that. In
That's
the
an Easter egg. Exactly.
But we can
Rennerscheid, Ken Klimko or not, you play golf.
So for the tournament, we're lining up good hole sponsors. So there'll be a lot of good stuff to eat, a lot of good stuff to drink, and a lot of good stuff to taste. As I follow the protocols of the language here. And yeah, come join us. If you're a good putter, we'll crush this thing. I feel really good about it. I haven't seen your Remchuk golf, but I only assume he plays a giant banana slice after seeing him disc golf.
100%, yeah.
Okay, are you a lefty or a righty?
Lefty.
Okay, that's okay. We can work with that. So yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that sucks.
That I'm a lefty?
Yeah.
Why?
I just don't trust lefties.
It sets up better. I think that course sets up better if you are a drawer of the ball. I think there's one. Yeah, there's actually one. No. Fuck, you're good.
Because
is there
anything in sports that looks weirder than a left-handed golfer comparative to like the opposite of what they do?
Yeah,
like a right-handed what does that even mean?
Yeah, it does look a little weird. Like a left-handed batter, right-handed batter looks normal.
Bat right, yeah, in hockey, or they shoot right, or they shoot left. It all looks normal. Nothing ever looks weird. But when you see somebody swing a club left-handed, it just looks different. It's just
I'm pretty confident in my ability to bat switch when I play slow pitch, but I'm a right-handed batter in ball, but I'm a lefty golfer, lefty hockey.
So are you left-handed or are you right-handed? Like what,
I'm right-handed.
Then why the fuck are you golfing left? That is backwards.
It makes sense for me. I don't know. It's comfortable. It's what I do. It's what I've always done.
Well, so of course, you're too far down the journey.
Yeah. And also my dad was a lefty, right? So when I would have started golfing when I was really young, like my dad would have been the one teaching me. So obviously I would have learned as a lefty. It's the same thing. Early last year when I started teaching my girlfriend how to golf, she just used my clubs. So she's or to start at least. So she was just using my old clubs. I'm a lefty. She started as a lefty. Then after a full season, she was like, I'm going to try swinging right-handed. And she was like, actually pretty good at it. She was like, fuck, I think I messed up. Like, I think I might've been a righty, but you're too far in.
She can still make the switch. Ah, no, she can make the switch.
But my dad,
my dad made the switch. I think he was like in his early 30s or late 20s. He switched from left to right.
But there's no point. I don't think at that point too, you're undoing so much progress that I don't think there's much of a point in ever switching. And also I like being a lefty. It's, I don't know. It's the exact same as long as there aren't people being like, you look weird. They're like, what the fuck does that even mean?
This guy's got a fighter spirit.
If you guys are both righties though. Obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. So if anything, I'm an asset. I'm a lefty. We have some variation.
Yeah.
In the group.
Yeah.
Well, there's no one timers in golf. Who cares? You don't need a lefty or a righty.
Yeah. Well, this is what you get if you the successful twosome. You get us the banter of us ripping on your Remchuk for 18 holes.
Yeah, you get the banter, and maybe we'll even have a couple bonuses, even though we can't say anything for sure. But if you join this
Klimko autographed hat,
you can't even get his name right, so obviously he's not coming. But again, it's a proud, the Oilers Nation Open is a proud supporter of Gregor's grads. If you don't know what that is, Gregor saw a need to provide high school students that are graduating with a nice crisp suit. And that is what Gregor's grads is all about. It started back in 2014. Something I love about this as well, and Gregor talks about it all the time, is these kids who graduate high school, they get the suit and they keep it. It's not like a free rental. So they have this to like get going in like their adult lives, like job interviews, all that shit. These kids get to keep the suit. It's fantastic stuff, and that's what it's in support of. So if you want to golf with myself, Chalmers, and Jay, hit us up in either our Twitter or our Instagram with your bid. You need to be legit with it, obviously. And whoever the highest bidder is will get a chance to golf with us, and it'll close next Thursday at 1 o'clock Mountain Time in our DMs. I'll probably put out a call on Wednesday being like, here's what the highest bid is. Need your final bid, and that'll be it.
Good luck.
And everyone, it's for you and one other person. There you go.
Let's have some fun.
Indeed. Let's have a good time here. Let's keep moving on here. But before we do, let's give some love to twigandberries.ca. Maybe you'll see Twig and Berries out at the Oilers Nation Open. They got a new store just out in St. Albert by the casino in Campbell Park. If you go to their website, though, it's free shipping on orders over $75 in Canada. And you know we got that promo code for you. Nation15 saves you 15%. All right. Let's keep moving along here. Do we want to do
story? I want to tell a quick story about
please
life.
Please go.
It wasn't on the agenda, but I just need to get it off my chest. Chalmers, you'll enjoy this. It involves spectacular embarrassment and beefs to come. So the house beside Wanya Manor is for sale. And on my street, I have very few allies, mostly enemies. I've defeated two of my neighbors in court over bylaws and other things, and I don't have a lot of allies, so I'm hoping that the neighbor, who's a pretty good guy, his wife's a good guy too, I'm hoping that they'll be replaced by like friendlies, right? So like 3 days ago, I'm walking up the stairs in Wanya Manor, and it's about 10:30 in the morning, and I'm wearing nothing, as is my right, and I look out the window into my neighbor's house, and there's a couple getting a tour of the house, like on a for sale tour. And this lady's looking through the window at me in my altogethers as I'm on my phone. And she's like staring at me. And so I play it off like I don't see her. And I just keep walking, right? And I'm like, oh, damn, that lady getting the house viewing saw me naked. That's crazy. So then I have like all this shit in my arms, like 25 minutes later, and I go out of the house and I look, and they're standing on the lawn of their house. And she's like looking super judgmentally at me leaving my house. And I promptly trip and drop everything I'm carrying and fall down like three stairs, right? And I look over and they're like the yuppies in Beetlejuice. Remember the people next door that were just like, oh my God, we have a brand new stereo.
Alec Baldwin,
remember?
And Gina Davis.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, wasn't it?
You mean Christmas Vacation?
Same type of people. Those type
you
of
said Beetlejuice.
Yeah. But no. You're right. I was thinking of a different movie.
I'm thinking
about who they are. It's same type.
Yeah. No, I got
so
it.
That's like who's moving in next to me, right? And I'm like, oh, guaranteed these people aren't going to buy this house. Who cares? Come up today. House is sold. My neighbor's out front. I'm like, did you sell us to a really fancy looking young yuppie couple? He's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I'm already down one. He goes, yeah. She specifically said, what's up with the neighbor on the one side? And I went, oh, he's cool.
How awkward is he?
Oh God!
Talk about first impressions.
Have the hand over you.
They're gonna come over and be like, "We'd like to talk about how you're manicuring your lawn, or why you have shoes over the phone wires to your house, or why your lawn's on fire most of the time." Leave me alone, new neighbors. Fuck! I can't live my life to your standards.
What if they come over and they're like, they've got like a bottle of champagne and some cookies, and they're like, hey.
That doesn't happen. You get somebody's like,
you're drunk and we want to party.
Can we talk about the area between our houses and how we feel like a different colored gravel would look a lot better than what we currently have?
You're going into like, this with,
bitch, yeah, with assumptions. No.
You need to have a better attitude, I think, is the problem you're wanting.
Oh my God, you're in check. Oh my Lord. That's a pot calling the kettle black. I'm already down 2-0. These people haven't even moved in.
You've really judged them. Read a book by their judged a book by its cover. There,
Chalmers. Yep, you know how you're supposed to emotionally disrobe in front of people and be vulnerable. This lady's seeing me actually disrobed and vulnerable.
I mean, it can't get
lucky
any worse
for her. Though. It's probably one of the best sexual experiences of her life, seeing me naked. Jesus. So it'll work
well,
out.
No wonder they're not going to like you. You've been nothing but rude to them so far on this
that
podcast.
Lady probably looks at her husband now with 3% less interest because she's witnessed me in my glory walking around in Wanya Manor.
I mean, it's kind of her fault for like looking into your window.
But there's like a 1 in 3 chance that she'll end up coming over to my side of the fence. I bet you.
Not so like, going to say no.
Really? Really? You think so?
What if her husband listens to the podcast? This is just getting worse for you now.
No, he won't. That's a start. Nobody listens to this podcast, so I'm not worried about that. Secondly, whatever, man. Don't bring your missus to a new neighborhood if you can't hold on to her. You know what I'm saying?
It's like kind of don't.
Chalmers, you ever steal any of your married neighbors?
No.
No, you never did, eh?
No.
Well, maybe it's harder than I think. Whatever. I don't care.
It's not something that happens a lot.
I fell down 3 stairs in front of this woman. Do you know how hard it is to bounce back from that?
Oh, yeah.
Did they pretend like they didn't see you? Because I saw.
No, we all looked at each other and I gathered myself up. I was no longer standing.
Well, then these people
and walked to the Wanya Mobile.
Normal, cordial behavior. If somebody falls in front of you, you quickly turn your back to them and try to let them
say, holy fuck, that's embarrassing. Are you okay?
I saw a guy fall that was running. He was like, he like got to the crosswalk and just like tripped and like fell. Oh, and he was older. And I felt like I didn't want him to see that I saw because I didn't want him to be embarrassed.
That's social courtesy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not Julia Louis-Dreyfus / Gina Davis living next door. They're mean as shit. You remember those movies?
I do. They were good movies. Well, at least there's nowhere to go but up from here.
Yeah.
Why don't you make them something and take it over? A nice little basket.
Bring them some nation beer.
You know, that ain't the worst idea that never would have occurred to me.
Just wear your robe over there.
Get them a bread and butter baking box.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like a 60-pack of condoms and a bottle of Fireball. It says, rock on, welcome.
Nation-branded condoms.
1 in 5
have a story as well.
For quality.
So the other day, I was about to go golfing with my parents. I was sitting on their deck beforehand, enjoying a bevy. Wind started to pick up because it was Saturday and it was starting to storm. And I'm sitting there on their deck, just minding my own business. And all of a sudden, I feel like a splash on my face.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's rain, maybe? Wipe it right from the edge the right side of my lips.
No.
Look at it.
Bird poop.
Bird shit.
That's good luck, bro. That's
good
luck.
So anyways, a bird shit right on my face and all over my shirt while the wind was howling like crazy. Like the weirdest fucking thing. I couldn't believe it. I didn't really taste it. It didn't go in my mouth, just kind of like on the edge of my lips. So I like wiped it off.
Was it warm?
I don't remember. I was kind of just in shock.
Bird poop eater.
Yeah. I've never been shit on by a bird. I don't know how I'd handle that one.
So like my golf shirt was fucking ruined. I had to go like rinse my mouth with mouthwash because I felt disgusting. But shot a 42 on the front, which is fucking amazing for me.
There you go.
Good luck.
So it was.
Are
it
you
was
listening, bitters? 42 Proof on the front.
Money. 42 on the front at Ravencrest, which is actually pretty. It's an interesting
course. A bird named course after getting shit on by a bird.
I can't believe I forgot to say this on the last episode because it was a weird weird situation. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Actually, I might because it wasn't that bad. But you know what I'm saying? Bird shit on me. Insane. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I felt like sharing. Anyway,
your Amtrak, will you singing Telegram to my neighbors to welcome them to the neighborhood for me as a favor?
Nobody wants to hear me sing. I have no musical talent.
You say in a broadcaster voice, like a play-by-play where it's like, they moved out and then they live there. Yay! From your neighbor next door. And then turn on your heel, don't look him in the eye, and walk away in a straight line. Would you do that as a favor?
Do what you think the play-by-play was of the neighbor seeing Wanya.
What about the neighbor next door? Too bad. You've already moved here. Yay!
You have a very sing-songy impression of what a play-by-play announcer is. Can you imagine if that's what Jack Michael sounded like? McDavid grabs a puck, passes it to Draisaitl. Score.
Why don't you ever go on your front porch, Wanya? Why don't you ever go on your front porch? Because I'm surrounded by enemies. That's why. My fiefdom gets smaller by the day on the street. People across the street from me, the guy literally said to me one time, oh, hey, I'm your neighbor across the street. Yeah, what's going on? blah, 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 Oilers Nation. Oh, I got big problems with those guys, he said to me.
And you were like,
I've never met this man in my life. No, because he asked a question, something about Oilers Nation. I was like, I have nothing. I had no idea about anything. That's across the street. The one side, the guys had taken me to bylaw court, lost, appealed it, and lost again. And now I got Mrs. See Me Naked fall down the stairs on my south side. I'm screwed.
Are you like allowed to tell us what the bylaw thing was about?
The Oilers Nation hot tub that I possess was too loud for my neighbor's tastes. And they took me to bylaw court on account of my hot tub being too loud. And then lost, and then appealed it, and I had to go back to court, and they lost again.
Sounds like you should be really happy to have new neighbors. That's like
no, those people aren't moving. It's the other side.
Oh God, it's the other side.
I wish those people were moving. I would have had fireworks. I said in bylaw court, I will knock your house down and park my cars there if you'd like, and they turned purple with rage. It was funny. Point is, now I can never go on my front patio. I just have to get out of the car and run into my house. I can't look left. I can't look right. I can't look behind me. If my house caught fire, nobody would call it in. Nobody. They would just let it burn. They'd be like, oh, sorry, we're busy. We're watching Netflix. We didn't see your house is on fire.
That's what they would say.
That's what they'd say. Just like that, you're on check.
All right. All right. I got some Oilers hypotheticals here. We haven't done that in a while. So I came up with three. And they're very loose hypotheticals, but I think they're kind of fun. So I'm going to hit you guys with these.
Fire away.
Okay. There's actually four, but I don't know if I said that. I don't know if I said three or four, but the first one. Okay. First one. The Oilers get an extra $6 million in cap space for this upcoming season, but you personally are not allowed to attend an NHL game in person this year at any point. Regular season, playoffs, preseason, in Edmonton, in Vegas, in Seattle, don't matter, none of it. Oilers get an extra $6 million. You cannot attend a game and you cannot tell anyone that this is happening.
Can't tell anyone that it's not happening.
You cannot even be praised as a hero for this.
Oh,
it is secretive. I don't even.
Oh my God. So could I watch the Leafs get the joys of the playoffs?
You wouldn't get to go in person. You could watch it at a bar or whatever, but.
Fuck.
Well, my neighbor saw me naked, so you know I'm down to stay indoors for the next foreseeable future, so that's cool.
Wow, that's tough. That's tough. Okay. Fuck it. Take the cap space.
You're sacrificing your in-person enjoyment of the Edmonton Oilers. They could go on a run with that extra $6 million, and you are signing off on it and
but
staying
they,
home.
But they only
get another Duncan Keith for
it.
That.
They only got it because I'm abstaining. That's the Fair whole enough. Thing. So, yes.
All right.
And I'll hold a...
Would you do it?
I don't plan on going to a game anyway, so yep, I'm in.
All right. I was too loose with this one. Chalmers, you don't give a shit, right? Cap space.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's all good.
Chalmers would rather go to the game.
These are pretty much all geared towards Jay.
I'm not going to go to a game to give them cap space because of decisions that they've made.
Yeah, but you're increasing their chances of having them win.
Yeah, come on. Let them be the Tampa Bay Lightning.
So ultimately you're saying that I'm sacrificing my ability to watch them in person to give them a better chance at winning.
So they can have Gabriel Landeskog.
Yeah.
Or another Duncan Keith.
Or another Duncan Keith.
Sounds good.
Hypothetical number two.
Who would you rather have, Gabriel Landeskog or Duncan Keith? Bag milk, go.
Yeah, well, Landeskog.
Obviously, that's
not enough.
Let balloon.
Let's not tag this one as a comedy podcast.
All right, hypothetical number two. You can go to Oilers. You can watch Oilers games wherever you want, in the building, out of the building, but you cannot have a sip of alcohol during the game at any point in the season or playoffs.
But
you get the guarantee that the Oilers will never lose a game in overtime or shootout. As soon as it's past 60 minutes, bang, 2 points.
Ooh.
Ooh, overtime wins are the bomb, man.
Stone so soap,
no booze all season to guarantee they never lose a game in overtime. They win every overtime or shootout they're in.
Could you
sorry. You didn't phrase it like that. I thought it was they would win every game.
Yeah. Can I do whippets instead of booze?
No,
can
you cannot do
30 cans.
You cannot do
into the stands.
Oh fuck!
You have to be stone sober.
You got to be sober for every Oilers game all year, but they will never lose a game in overtime or shootout. Basically, it comes down to like 9 points in the standings. Would you stop drinking to give the Oilers?
They'll still make
points?
The playoffs. They'll still make the playoffs. It's not even about my like love for booze. It's just like if it's a Saturday night and it's the move, and I want to like I want to enjoy it.
All right,
that one I can live with.
Third one. You can choose between a brand new season of the hit TV show Oil Change, or you can personally get to hand pick the start time for every Oilers game this upcoming season.
The start what?
The start time. The schedule's made. You know what days they're playing on, but you can pick what time the game starts at, or you get a brand new season of Oil Change, and it would be a good one.
Huh.
I'm picking start times.
I'd pick start time. They'd start at 5 o'clock every night.
Yeah, I was going to say, enjoy them 5 p.m. starts, everybody.
Why? They're terrible. They're so low impact.
Yeah, what do you guys want 5 a.m., 5 p.m. start? I'm not even home from work.
Every Saturday, 1 o'clock. Hell yeah.
Unlucky for you, Chalmers.
Saturday at 1 o'clock?
Fucking right.
I leave early.
Matinee.
The whole part of a night is like you go and you do, like in the spring especially, you like have the day outside doing stuff, and then you come in with your friends. And you cuddle up on a couch at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock start times on a Saturday are like my favorite thing in the world.
Fan, Chalmers, can you imagine being a Canucks fan in Nova Scotia? And every time they play, it's like 1 a.m. You're like, oh boy, first period.
Well, we talked about this on this podcast that like the East Coast really just gets screwed.
Oh boy,
all the
way we love them out here in St. John's.
Imagine watching like the NBA final.
Okay, but what are you guys picking? New season of Oil Change, or you get to pick the start time?
I'm taking Oil Change.
Me too. I want to hear about Bélanger.
Yeah, I'm taking Oil Change.
I want to hear more about the Keith trade.
Great. That's
fair enough.
What I saw is there a actual trade proposal out there that's a rumor for Koskinen right now?
Okay,
is it real? Is that real?
The Kessel for Koskinen?
Yeah.
No.
That's okay, real.
I don't want to get fooled by the internet here, but I saw it like a couple places.
That fucking Trina's Oil account sent it out.
But they weren't. Yeah, they weren't.
No, it wasn't Trina's Oil. It was Garfield that said it.
I rest my case. Is?
That's Trina Oil's source.
Yeah.
As per Garfield. Every tweet ends with as per Garfield.
Odie says it's bullshit, though, mind you.
Yeah, this sounds...
Oh, shit.
As per Garfield.
That's cool.
Are you looking it up right now, Chalmers?
Yeah, no. Yeah, kinda.
Chalmers got catfished by Trina's Oil.
No, I just saw
thought it was
that's
a chick. Zoomed in. Catfish.
I'm not buying it. And do I buy the fact that the Oilers would maybe trade Mikko Koskinen into Arizona? Sure, but I don't think there's any smoke to that specific rumor.
Jay, in the intro of the podcast, you're describing a trade where we traded Milan Lucic for James Neal, a migraine for an orgasm. What is trading Kessel for Koskinen?
Ooh, that is a foot-long midway corn dog.
4A?
Fuck.
Overpriced giraffe?
Yeah, like I'm trying to think of like, because he's just a pencil. I was trying to think of something. Yeah.
I would not imagine Phil Kessel would thrive in this scrutiny of it being an Oiler.
No, oh, no way. You got to have thick skin coming here.
Gotta take a quick call.
Fair enough.
For real?
Jay's a very busy man.
Jay's leaving the podcast to take a call. It had better be Barack Obama.
Something cool that I just stumbled upon on the internets here. A guy I grew up with just signed with the Bakersfield Condors.
Oh. Yeah.
What's his name?
Matteo Gennaro. So he signed a two-way AHL, ECHL deal with the Condors. He played for Wichita last year, he led Wichita with 26 goals. So me and him went to school together from like kindergarten until about grade 6, and we grew up like a minute away from each other. So we'd always play street hockey together. And I've absolutely buried the lead here, but he's also Fernando Pisani's nephew.
Oh, he's got the genes.
He's got them Oilers clutch playoff genes in his blood.
Interesting.
Anyways, that just popped up, so I felt like sharing. The last one I got here for Oilers hypotheticals. Wanya, you'll like this one. I'm very intrigued to hear your answer. You get one Oiler on this podcast, full 1 hour interview, all only truth. They cannot lie to you at all.
Oh, wow.
Which current, Oiler do you
former,
pick?
Former, both?
Nuge.
Current on the roster. Got to be on the roster.
Oh, current? Oh.
Yeah. It's
current
Nuge Oiler. Because I'll tell you why it's Nuge. He's been here the longest, and no one on this roster has seen more shit than him. And if he can only tell the truth, the stories would be incredible.
That's a great call. I echo the bag milk. Mm-hmm.
What are we giving up for this?
Nothing. I just want to know which Oiler you'd love to interview the most with only truth coming out.
I don't think there's really like questions to ask where I'm trying to bury a theoretical Oiler where I'm like, oh.
But like they'd give you shit you want to know. Let's just say it's not even on the podcast then. Let's just say it's a 1 hour conversation with anyone currently on the roster where you get nothing but the truth because you don't want to bury them in public.
It's like I go back in time, right? I go back in time 10 years and I say, Nuge, good news. In a decade, you'll sign an extension that'll keep you here forever. Weirder though, we're also going to trade for Duncan Keith and everyone's going to hate it. You'll also have played for about 15 coaches by then. Let's have a chat about it.
And how Connor. Connor in that pitch.
I would love to know what the room did, the dressing room did. Or said, or the dialogue in the dressing room when they traded Strome for Spooner. Room loves Strome for cancer Spooner.
Yeah. You know what is so fucking sad about this? You asked me that question, who I could talk to it for an hour. And like I've seen an interview with McDavid and Draisaitl together, and they're dry as toast. And so I'm trying to think of like somebody I would have a good time with talking on this team. And the fact is I just don't know any of their personalities enough to know if any of them would be a good time. That's sad.
There's a lot of them.
McDavid would be interesting because I'd like to know, like, who does he want off the team?
that'd be an interesting angle to it all.
Okay, destroy the Oilers in one question. Go.
Well, okay, but if we're moving away from the podcast angle and you're just getting a 1 hour conversation with someone,
we're removing ourselves from reality here for a second.
Well, then in my fantasy, I would like to talk to Dave.
My fantasy.
Well, I mean, like, Chalmers,
it's a fucking podcast.
It's true. I would love to talk to Connor, but I would love to talk to Connor for an hour privately. I feel like private conversation, Connor, where Connor is very concerned about downside risk of any statements that he makes, right? If you had a private conversation with him, I wouldn't want to be like, who do you want off the power play, Connor? I'd be more interested in like trying to understand the psychological makeup of somebody who's that determined and that successful.
Yeah.
Like when Connor right now is pissed off because even though he unanimously won the heart, right? Is he the type of guy that like is going to win the cup, hold it over his head and be like, got to be back at work tomorrow morning, not even happy? Or is he going to like change his personality once he wins? Like, I'd be really interested to know lots of that.
Go full Kucherov?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to see Tarps off David just shooting from the hip at everybody in his
Oh, that'd be great.
You know what the best thing I saw on like Twitter in the last 3 or 4 days was the picture of the cup with the big dent in it. And it was basically that picture side by side with the picture of Tom Brady throwing it across the boat. And it's like, this outraged football player people. Was an outrage throwing that hockey guys. It'll buff out.
Do you remember when Brady threw that trophy and the girl who's like grandpa?
Yeah, the dad. The grandpa who designed the trophy said he disrespected all the silversmiths that had ever made the trophy. I was like,
oh my God.
What?
Okay.
You didn't want it.
Like, you know they make a new one for every year. It's not like the same fucking trophy.
Yeah, but hockey people are all like, oh my God, you see what they did to the cup? That's awesome.
The Stanley Cup has got so many battle scars on it and has been repaired so many times, but that's part of the legend of the cup.
There was somebody in the media who said that the Tampa Bay Lightning should get the cup taken away from them and should not be allowed to have it.
For God's sake.
Because of that thing's been in the bottom of pools. It's been just like, you made it.
How seriously are you taking life when you're going to say that they should have the Stanley
Cup? Can you imagine Gary Bettman lands in a helicopter and gets out and they're like partying with the cup? He just like takes it away. He's like, that's what you get for denting it, and flies off.
I think he even said like as a franchise, if they ever won it again, they shouldn't be allowed to have it because of how disrespectfully they treated it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's because social media is a thing now. Like back in the 80s, can you imagine what the Oilers were doing with that fucking thing? Like
probably worse shit than that, than denting it.
Absolutely.
Look who's here. Unrelated. I want to interrupt. Look at Lou just arrived.
Oh, sup, baby one. Yeah.
What up?
Look at this guy.
Look at the perfectly round face on that little man.
Yeah. Look at this guy. He's like, what is the magic phone doing now? There's so many people on the call. Oh, sorry to interrupt you. I'm Jack.
What's going on? Hey, buddy.
I would like to know who dropped the cup, though.
Like, who's the one that's responsible? I think Maroon owned it. He said he fell. I slipped with it.
When you win it 3 years in a row, you can dent it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, honestly, he probably took that one. He probably was like, I'll take this one, boys. Everybody, people can't hate me right now. Even if they tried, I'll take this one.
I'll wear it, yeah.
Good team guy, glue guy. That's why he's going to win a fourth, probably.
Fuck. How about a three-year run that guy's had? Huh.
Oh, just.
I remember when he left here, I was like, I don't know if he's going to win the cup necessarily leaving the others. He's probably made a mistake 3 cups later. Yeah, he probably made the right cup.
He's been buckled all summer for 3 straight years and just pure cup celebration. The best.
That's what's funny, eh? Like, these guys win the cup and then they just publicly get so trashed and get so celebrated for getting so trashed.
I swear it's Ovechkin changed the game. That wasn't the case, really.
Ovi and the Bellagio.
And now everyone's trying to beat him at his own game.
And you know what? Weird little domino effect of that, right? Because Ovi went absolutely bananas because they won partially. I know it was other, but like, they won the cup in Vegas, right? So you kind of wonder, like, would Ovi have had that many party videos go viral? I know he had some that went viral in Washington later with the fountain, whatever. But like, you know, if they didn't expand to Vegas, would that have all trickled down?
No, I bet you, because he was getting so much positive PR for partying on social. I think he's just like, let's keep it going, boys.
And then you had St. Louis winning and Brett Hull being absolutely, you know, your headphones are in. I can say shit-faced around the baby one, yeah?
Oh, yeah, he knows he got shit-faced. He's like, Brett Hull's a drunk mess when they won the cup. He knows.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When the Oilers win the Stanley Cup, I, too, will be Brett Hull out in the streets of Edmonton.
Oh, it'd be an honor.
Should the Oilers, when they win the Stanley Cup, do a boat parade down the North Saskatchewan?
Yes.
Absolutely.
They should. 100%.
They should.
We'll be throwing them nation beers from the shore. It'll be the best.
Oh, I'll be on a stand-up paddleboard just crushing beers along the way.
It'd be cool. I've been a big fan of, you know, since we're talking parade routes, right down kind of River Valley Road.
Yeah.
Right there. That'd be a great spot to have people loaded up all over and come down there. Finish coming down Grote Road and bang, right down that whole stretch would be unreal.
That's actually a gangster twist on a cup parade to do it on the river. No one's ever done that.
Well, the Lightning have been doing it.
Yeah, they brought water.
Aren't they in a bay? Aren't they in the ocean?
I mean, but similar thing,
but
though,
still
right?
Still in water.
Oh, yeah.
Then did you see it just started like fucking pouring midway through their celebration? It was wild.
Yeah.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. We even talked, and I'm switching gears pretty roughly here, but we haven't talked sports betting in a while, so we're going to give some love to our friends at oddshark.com. And where I'm going with this is we saw the Stanley Cup odds for next season are finally out, even though no one knows what any team will look like, and there's still plenty of moves to be made. But if you are the site I'm looking at right now over at Oddshark, the Colorado Avalanche opened as the favorites to win next season's Stanley Cup at plus 425, so 4.25-1. The Edmonton Oilers are pretty far down the list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They are 13th in the NHL, or tied for 11th with the Islanders and Capitals at 30-1. So interesting to see the Oilers lumped in with the Islanders and the Capitals. Some notable teams ahead of Edmonton that I found surprising: the Florida Panthers, the New York Rangers, who didn't even make the playoffs this season, the Minnesota Wild, who are going to, after this season, have a bunch of dead cap space on their books. Below the Oilers, though, will be the likes of the Jets and the Flames and the Canucks and all of that. Something else I found hilarious: Detroit and Buffalo are 250-1, whereas the Seattle Kraken are only 150-1.
On the list, this must be a new revised list, because on the list I saw, which was about a week ago, the Kraken were at the very bottom and were, I think, plus 350. So, you know what? It might just be because of some of the things coming out for them, like guys who are willing to waive no trade. Like, I saw Ben Bishop today is willing to waive his thing so he could go into that, so he could be like not protected.
Yeah.
Wildest one is what?
Who knows?
It's the Minnesota Wild. There's 3 years when they've got at minimum $12 million in cap space or dead cap space.
So for this year, will they go all in because they know like Dan can have many more chances, or right? Yeah, that's what's interesting about their company.
That's wild. Yeah. Well, they're banking on a rising cap is what they're doing. Well, then that means the Oilers are good value if they're below the Minnesota Wild.
And 30-1.
To extend the betting talk a little bit more, it's the British Open this weekend.
The Open.
Oh, yeah.
The Open. Shocker, Louis Oosthuizen, major show-up champion of the world but can't close, is leading.
Unbelievable.
That guy is fucking my... I always bet on that. I forgot it was the British Open this weekend or the Open. But I'm Louis's going to break through. He's got to fucking break through.
I'm going to send you guys something in our group chat right now to show you how fired up I am for the Open. Where's our real life group chat? What the fuck? Anyways, I play DraftKings for every major tournament. I love playing DraftKings for golf. And right now I am in first place in the tournament. Remember last time I almost won the $1 million. That was great. But I'm in first place again in this contest I'm doing. So I'm fired up. And
is
I got
a million
my boy
bucks
Louis.
Again, your aim check? How no, much money this time?
It's not $1 million. It's only a couple hundred, which is sad. I should have been riskier and put more money.
Do you have Louis?
I got Louis. I got Mackenzie Mark. Hughes. I got Jordan Spieth.
Oh, and wow.
I nailed the top of the leaderboard, man. It's
hot
fun.
Start.
Yeah.
Look at you.
And then I got like Sergio, Victor Hovland, and Abe Anser are my other three golfers. But I fucking love golf.
Soon. Hovland's going to break through soon, I think.
People who say golf on TV is boring, man, I don't think they've just given it an honest enough shot. Like the Thursday and Friday aren't great. But like Saturday, Sunday at a major, holy shit. That is unreal TV. TV.
It's you have to dedicate some time.
Yeah.
But that's the thing I like about the British Open is you get up early and it's over early. And you have the rest of your day. Like where you're watching the US Open or the Masters and you're watching it from noon until 5.
Yeah. That is fair. Yeah. The Masters and the tournaments on this side of the pond can be a little bit time consuming, but regardless, I love this shit. I've had it on my TV all day. I haven't stopped watching it yet. It's unreal. Before we wrap up here, got to give some love to manscaped.com where we have the promo code real life gets you 20% off and free shipping for the man in your life. Maybe you need to get them a gift, or maybe you want to get yourself a gift. Go to manscaped.com. They got the performance package, which with a ton of goodies in it. And again, you're going to save a lot of money on this bad boy with the promo code real life. I think we're going to wrap this up. I think this was a nice little podcast. We went a lot of different places. Disc golf recap, a couple hypotheticals thrown at you guys. Stanley Cup
playing too hard, big brother.
Wednesdays. I didn't watch Wednesdays.
Frenchie went from I'm like, I'm going to like this guy. And then he actually started playing the game. And I'm like, this guy
way
is
too hard.
This guy's a fucking idiot and has a way too high impression of himself. I'm from the military. I know how to crack everything. No, dude, you're the most obvious guy in the world. And you're
he is awful.
Fuck. Paranoid.
He's so paranoid. He's going to be gone just because people are going to be like that Derek guy was just like, you could tell he didn't know how to deal with a guy like that. Like that can be so unhinged, you know, and really
unhinged
not make
by everything.
Any sense.
Everything.
Unhinged by everything.
And you can talk him off anything. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I got to break up this showmance. Like,
it's day three. He's not wrong.
It could be going down that path. So I'm like, okay. But then they come and say, we're not in a showmance. Oh, man, they're not in a showmance. I was wrong. Like, he just takes everyone at their word. And then how he was trying to project onto Derek about how he's in an alliance, thinks that he trapped him. He just, like, bullied the fuck out of him. Like, oh man, it's good television.
Yeah.
Because he is such a train wreck. Like, if they're actually smart, keep that guy in the house.
Yeah, keep him around because he is just like, he's a bulletin board of everyone else's news.
Exactly. Like, and then he's just, and he is just spreading lies around too and just trying to make shit up to try to keep himself safe. And then the fact, what blew me away, and this is, I don't know what the hell Derek was doing. Tyler, earmuffs.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe he convinced Derek to actually use the veto when he said he's going to replace him with his boy.
Yeah.
And so that guy was too scared. Like, like Frenchie said, I have the votes. I'm like, dude, like if Derek just went around and asked, everyone would be like, I don't fucking support Frenchie. That dude's crazy. But he said, I had to use the veto because I would have been out next week.
He's doing that thing where he's opening doors and walking into rooms just to like peek his head in there and then close the door again. It's just, that guy is not going to be around.
it's entertaining.
Glad Big Brother's back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to play our button.
Previously on Big Brother.
So my bad.
But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it so far.
We're already at an hour, and usually we save the voicemails for Monday. But we got one from Bearded Brad. We have part three of Future Wanye, which is a good one. But again, we can't play it till Wanye's not on a podcast. And
this
also,
guy's
we only
really committed to Future Wanye.
I know, it's so funny.
So much.
Play it after the show. Play it after the show. You're up.
Yeah, Wanye, actual Wanye, is really committed to being Future Wanye. Yes.
No. It's not me, Chalmers. If it was okay. Me, I'd want to hear people laugh at my own jokes. You know,
Chalmers is convinced it is you.
I will take a lie detector test on this show if you can arrange it. It's not.
He is a world class impressionist. Then
he is. Maybe it's
he's either
junior
he's
Wanye
either a world class
future
expressionist or impressionist, or you don't know how to change the style of your own talking and voice well enough.
Chalmers, I assure you, that is not me.
Also, we have one more show until I'm gone for 10 days, which means I won't be on the podcast. You guys are going to record it without me here. And I'm very good luck. Yeah. I don't know.
Bag Milk, this is your time to step into the breach, my friend, like a World War II guy.
Thankfully, we've got an English gentleman stepping in to help.
Why do I feel like we're taking Monday off?
Who's that? Was?
No, Liam. He's been helping us with social media stuff. He knows how to produce podcasts too.
Oh, beauty. So he's going to come on the show with us?
Yeah, he'll come on the show. He won't host, but he'll like be here recording. I don't know if you guys want to talk to him or not, but he's a funny dude.
That'll be the.
Can we harass him, Graham Chuck?
Exactly.
You can. I'll give him a heads up. What
he'll
he's in
probably
for.
He'll probably quit on Monday.
Yeah, he'll text me while I'm on vacation. And be like, I cannot do this.
And tell him to get Big Brother takes.
Yep.
I don't think he wants. Oh, he might watch Big Brother actually. I don't know.
Well, anyway, he's got to get caught up.
So, is there an episode tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wednesday, Thursday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. Is the schedule. I looked it up because I thought it was Tuesday for some reason. I thought I missed it. But Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday.
We talk about one more thing. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but have you seen that I believe that Barstool Sports is making a push to try to get Biz to fight fucking Logan Paul?
Oh, my God.
So it's been talked about on like three of their different podcasts, like three different total entities, one with Biz Nasty, one with Dave Portnoy and Logan Paul, and then another one. And like, I really, they're trying to make it happen. And I don't know.
Charles, I'm just going to open. I really don't give a shit who fights who.
No, but he wants to fight the game. Logan Paul wants to fight the game.
Game. Holy man. Like, I don't understand. How can you fight Floyd Mayweather and then the game? And then like, is this just life of a video game now?
He's just getting paid though. It's just
he's just cashing checks. So if I'm Logan Paul, Jake Paul, whoever.
Baby Wanye is in tears at the thought of this.
Yeah, he doesn't look thrilled, does he? I think he may have gone to the bathroom, truth be told. He's got a weird look on his face. I may have to bounce.
Yeah, you know, let's wrap up this pod here. This has been episode 2. Oh, baby Wanye.
Poor baby Wanye. He doesn't like this idea. He is not in favor of Biz Nasty fighting Jake Paul, like at all.
No. This has been episode 298 of the Real Life Podcast. Shout out to the HGA Group, Twig and Berries, and Manscaped. You already know the promo codes. Thanks for tuning into the Real Life Podcast. Let's wrap this bad boy up.
Great job on making it through the entire hour of the Real Life Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. it.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.